Wondering if it's possible to maintain a minimalist house with kids during the holidays? Let's hear how Minimalist Moms podcast host Diane Bowden does it on today's episode.
Welcome to Cocktails and Containers, your source for organizing strategies perfectly paired with a cocktail. And now, here's your host, who thinks this whiskey tastes like I'm going to tell you how I really feel, Christy Lingo.
Hello and welcome back to Cocktails and Containers. Today we are chatting Minimalist Christmas, or as I've been calling it, having a Minimalistmas. Our guest today is Diane Bowden, host of the Minimalist Moms podcast and mom to three young kiddos. We discuss what minimalism means to her, how to deal with the pressures of consumerism while trying to maintain a minimalist home during the holidays, and where to start if we're interested in decluttering or exploring minimalism. Before we jump into my chat with Diane, I want to introduce myself to anyone who is new to the podcast. My name is Christy Lingo, and I spent 10 years working as a professional organizer to organize and simplify families just like yours. Because when your home and family are organized and simplified, you can do more of what you love with who you love. And to me, that's what it's all about. One way you can do more of what you love with who you love this holiday season is to start planning now. I recently introduced my 12 days of Christmas prep on all my social media channels with 12 short videos covering areas for you to prep and a checklist to keep track of what you've done. You can watch all the videos and pick up your check sheet by visiting holidays.simplesolutionsorganizing.com. And now for my chat with Diane Bowden. Diane is a wife and mom to three, lover of books, travel, cool autumn days, and coffee. She's a reformed shopaholic who now readily embraces a less-is-more lifestyle. I was so excited to find out that Diane not only lived in Columbus, but she's actually in my part of town. So we were able to get together on a Saturday morning and record this podcast and an episode for hers talking about one of my sweet spots, clutter-free gift giving. And I'll be sure to link to that and all of Diane's contact information, including her podcast, in those show notes, which will be available at podcast.simplesolutionsorganizing.com. Now, here's our chat about having a minimalistmas. Hey, Diane. How you doing right now?
You asked me in somewhat of a tense moment, but I'm doing well. Some behind-the-scenes things, or sometimes it's hard to communicate with your spouse.
It's mom life, man. It's what happens. But today I'm talking with Diane Bowden. She is the host of the Minimalist Moms podcast, which you might have heard of. It's a great listen, and you definitely need to check it out. But we are going to talk a little bit today about having a minimalist Christmas, or what I am deeming a minimalist mess. Mm-hmm. And Diane has been on a minimalism journey for how long now?
I technically say maybe 10 years. I would say that, yeah, it started in my early 20s. I'm 31 now.
So. Which is awesome because it shows that it's not like a one and done thing. Like so much in organizing, it is something where you have a starting point and you're constantly evolving and constantly changing. So we're going to talk a little bit about that today. But first we're going to have a delicious brunch cocktail because we are recording. It's just before noon. Uh-huh. So we are going to have a great brunch cocktail that you can serve either for Thanksgiving if you're prepping food and you got family over cooking, or this could be something that you would do on Christmas morning. And it is called a poinsettia, or it's called a cranberry mimosa. And how you're going to make it is start by rimming your glass with a little bit of sugar. And my trick when I'm rimming glasses is always to do a little bit of the alcohol on my finger and then dip it into the sugar. It will stick a lot better if you do it that way. And then to that glass, you'll add a half ounce of orange liqueur, which is either Cointreau or triple sec, and then 3 ounces of cranberry juice. Once you've got all of that in your sugar-rimmed glass, you will add 3 ounces of champagne, and then you're all set and ready to go. And you were saying that you like this a little bit better than mimosas, right?
Yeah, I really prefer the cranberry juice to the orange juice, so I highly recommend you try it. I'm probably going to be making this on Christmas morning.
Excellent! See, there's enough endorsement right there for you. So, of course, you can get all of the cocktail recipes that we do here here on Cocktails and Containers by visiting the show notes, which are available at podcast.simplesolutionsorganizing.com. But we mentioned your minimalism journey, that you've been on it for about 10 years. So can you tell me a little bit about how you got started and sort of where it has taken you?
Absolutely. So I would say that I did start at kind of the beginning of my adulthood, so that's been beneficial to us in a variety of ways. But yeah, when I was late teenager, early 20-year-old, I needed all the shiny new things. I am very active in my church, and I used to sing there, and I felt like I could not be up on stage without a new outfit or at least a new shirt each Sunday that I sang. So I just, anything that was new, I needed to have. So flash forward maybe a year or two, meeting my husband. He and I were in my parents' basement, and he said something along the lines of, look at all of these things that are now in boxes that were once your dad's hard-earned work hours. Like, his working hours are spent for these things that are now in boxes. And for some reason, that just was my aha light bulb moment, and I just kind of started being more intentional about the way that I wanted to spend my money. I felt like I was spending it on things that were just in my closet, worn once, or items on my shelves that I just did not care about after they were, the newness wore off. So I'd say that was kind of the beginning of it. I wouldn't necessarily say, well, maybe he is a minimalist, but I wouldn't say that my husband was a minimalist when we got together. He just didn't value things as much as I did. He valued experiences over things. So we just kind of decided, I guess, within the following months as we were dialoguing about this, that we wanted to prioritize experiences in our life over things.
Yeah, and I think that we're starting to see a little bit more of this in society, this idea that less is more, or intentionality with family or with couples or with yourself. And, you know, we've kind of come through this where we get a lot of things and we have a lot of things, and we're realizing that it's empty, or that it's not as fulfilling, or that it's almost like an addiction where we get something and then that happiness, that boost that we get from getting it, is getting shorter and shorter. So we have to get more and we have to get more and we have to get more. And so I think that that's a way, you know, finding minimalism, using minimalism to really refocus your energy and your time is a really great way if you're feeling like you're floundering, or you're feeling very anxious, or like you're just never feeling fulfilled. But it can be a very triggering word, minimalism or minimalist. I think people have this view of everything you own fits in a backpack, and like you have three kids and you live in your car or something like that. So tell me a little bit about what it means to you and sort of your version of minimalism.
So I think that people do think very sparse, white walls, white furniture. I know, not to throw the minimalists under the bus, those guys, but I know that when they started their minimalist journey, it was living out of suitcases or living with one dining room chair. That is not what it's looked like for us. As you said earlier when we were recording on our podcast, you do have things in your home. You have children. Like, it might not be exactly how you'd want to live with just you and your husband, but like, you have things. So I would say that for me, it has been about intentionality, and it's getting rid of what is superfluous. Gosh, I can't say that word. And I think that when we are just intentional about bringing things into our home that we really love, I think that that's being minimalist. Like, living with intention, living with the idea that you want less, and where you're going to focus your money and your, I guess, your energy. That's what being a minimalist is like for me.
Yeah. And, you know, being intentional also sort of says you are very thoughtful about what you're bringing into your home, what you're spending your time on. And this can get a little out of hand when it comes to the holidays. Like, consumerism is rampant during the holidays. And you're getting it from all angles. You're getting it from the television. You're getting it from social media. You're getting it from your parents who are like, I want to buy all the things for all the kids. What are some ways that you have focused in to be more intentional about your holidays and to really live your minimalist lifestyle during the crazy holiday months?
Well, as I said, we are definitely about the experiences. So we try to focus on the experiences, I guess, as a family during the holidays. So we're doing like sledding and things that don't cost a lot of money. There's a really awesome train set down at the local library that we have. So it's things like that that we are going to do that are free, I guess. If you're talking about what people are getting for us, I am very big on lists. So Amazon, I know that not everyone loves Amazon, but you can go on there, you can get craft a list, and I hand those out to family members. I just send the little link, and I'm like, this is what I know that me and my children have both approved, quote unquote, and that's what we'd like for Christmas. And so, or birthdays or whatever the event might be. And I think that list making is huge. I would also say that people see how we're living our lives throughout the year. And so that's quite helpful. It's taken a few years to get them on board with the way that we're living. But I think when they see that you've made a shift on what you're prioritizing, it helps them to know, like, okay, they don't want a ton of extra things this year for their Christmas list. And even my mom, actually, she just called me yesterday and she's like, do you want one big gift for you and Marty, or do you each just want two separate big gifts? Because she's like, we're trying to pare down this year. We know that you are. And I'm like, finally, you guys have gotten it. Like, I've had to live this way in our marriage for 8 years, but you're finally getting it after year eight. So it may take some time to get your family members on board. But again, I think just setting an example of the way that you want others to live, like, that's very helpful.
Be the change that you want to see in the world, right? Isn't that it? And if you're right, it might take a little bit of time, especially if your parents or your relatives are the people who grew up with a little, now they have the money to spend, and they think that money and stuff equals happiness or success, or, you know, it's sort of hard to get that out of their brains. But if they see how happy you are, if they see that you're less stressed, that you are less anxious, that mm-hmm. you're spending this amazing time with your family, I think that that's the greatest testament mm-hmm. to your minimalist lifestyle that you can possibly put out there. You're like, I think that be that change, be the example, and let them see how it's going to affect you if they bring the stuff you don't want in.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think for us specifically, I know not every family member does this, or every family does this, but on Christmas morning, we actually do spend it with my parents. And every year that we've had our children, they just bombard them with gifts, which is lovely because they love them and it's generous. And I'm very thankful and grateful for that. But we have been seeing the last several years that the kids don't even really make it through half the gifts before they're bored and they're done and they're playing in the basement with my childhood toys. And so I think that they're seeing that it's too much. Like, they don't need this much and they're satisfied with just a handful of things. And I know another thing that we do as just me and my husband and our three children, well, three now, Benjamin's little. Benjamin just joined us. But with our other two kids, we do the need, want, wear, read. So our children only get four gifts from us. And we've done that since they were little. I know that might be a little bit difficult for someone to implement that has older children. But as we were talking on the podcast we just recorded, for me, kids are really adaptable. And we don't give them enough credit in the way that they can adapt and just get used to new things. So I'd say try it. If not this year, try it next year and just kind of set them up like, hey, we're going to do four gifts for you under the Christmas tree. We're going to make it about the yummy breakfast and the Christmas movie we're going to watch. And we're going to go on a snowy walk or just whatever. I think that that can get them really excited in other ways.
I think that's so right. You know, Christmas jammies, Christmas breakfast, snuggling, watching Christmas movies, you know, make it about the intentional time. And when you talk about it, you know, you're like, four gifts, it doesn't seem like a lot, but you got three kids and two adults. So let's say you and your husband each get four gifts. You're up to 20 gifts. And if you take turns to open those, you're still spending a mm-hmm. good amount of time on Christmas morning. So yeah, maybe you're not spending 5 hours and you don't have three bags of trash, but you've been more intentional. You can now focus in on spending time, or the kids can play with their toys. Mm-hmm. You know, they can actually get and play with the toys that they want and that they love. Mm-hmm. And you've made it about the family that day. So I love that. So then we've got the flip side of Christmas. So a lot of people go into the new year, ironically, right after Christmas when we've had this influx of stuff. People's goal is to get organized after the new year. And, you know, maybe they don't want to go as far as minimalism, but they want to declutter, they want to organize. What are some of the tips that you have from your minimalist lifestyle that you can give to people who are looking forward to saying, in the new year, my New Year's resolution is going to be to get organized?
Okay. Well, one of the biggest tips I have is do not start with the sentimental items first. I would say, this is so goofy, but start in the bathroom, because I feel like you're not sentimental about the things that are in your bathroom typically. And so I feel like that's a great place to just go in and say, I'm going to overhaul. And sometimes if you have your bathroom really decorated, I'd say pull it down for 30 days and see if you notice the difference. See if you care that that picture on the wall or those things cluttering your counter space in the bathroom are missing.
Because, or that you don't have 35 bath towels.
Yeah, absolutely. Or like go through the things in your bathroom, that the medications that have expired, the hair products that you're not using. Start using them. Use it up. I don't know. Why waste it? And so, yes, I would say start in the bathroom and then slowly make your way through your house. Kitchen might be another great place to start. But yeah, don't start with sentimental items. And I would say, I'm trying to teach my parents this. Sorry, I keep throwing my parents under the bus. But recognize the sentimentality that you have. Like the sentimentality that you have is an emotion. And really, what you have connected to that item is a memory. And that's not going to go away if you purge something. Another thing is, if you have maybe your grandmother's jewelry that you're not wanting to part with, choose a few things and then donate the rest. If this is just going to stay in boxes, you're not using it anyways. And it's just your memories that you have connected to that item. So I would say choose a few pieces to either display or to wear, and you're using it. So
yeah. Well, and I think too that a lot of these things that we keep around because of sentimental reasons, we aren't honoring the memory of the person that gave them to us, because they gave it to you to wear. They didn't give it to you to put in a box. But mm-hmm. if there's somebody out there that could love and enjoy this item, mm-hmm. I think that that's a really great motivator to being like, I'm not going to wear these 5 strands of fake pearls that mm-hmm. my grandmother gave me that I'm keeping just to keep it. But somebody out there, some little old lady, when she gets dressed up for church, might love this. Mm-hmm. And am I doing a disservice to this object or to my grandmother's memory mm-hmm. by not letting her have this? So I think you're absolutely 100% right. I always go with the clients and to talk, do the easy stuff first mm-hmm. so that you don't get hung up on kids' school papers or on photographs of something, somebody that's passed away. You know, start with the easy places for you. And then as you feel confident, mm-hmm. as you see how the change and how the decluttering and how having less around really affects your mood and your, you know, your stress levels, use that as a motivation to keep propelling you forward into those things. And then eventually, you know, it might be 10 years down the road when mm-hmm. you can finally dig into those photographs mm-hmm. or the cards that you received for your birthday party when you were a kid. Mm-hmm. But that's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, we all have different times for our journeys. And it's always, like we said earlier, evolving and changing. Mm-hmm. And it's a skill that we're developing and getting better at all along. So
absolutely. And I was going to say, consider the emotion that you have attached to the item. I know for me, going through some photographs from high school, some of those years were not great for me. And I will look at those pictures and I always felt like it would put me in a bad place mentally. And it's like, why am I keeping these? Do I want my... We sometimes keep pictures for our children to see in the future for us to look back on. But if you have a negative emotion attached to this, or if you're keeping a boyfriend's sweatshirt, like, what is your emotion keeping this item? Because if it's not healthy, you definitely need to just move on, part with it. If you can't do that personally, invite a friend over, have them do it. I know I did that a few years ago as I was purging my closet. I had my most brutally honest friend come over, and I had pulled out, I don't know, 30 items or something at that point that I was considering getting rid of, and I tried them all on for her and kept maybe 6. And then I said, with this 6 that I'm still uncertain of, I will wear them, and if I don't get a compliment once when I'm wearing it, I'm purging it. That was my silly way to kind of gather.
I kind of love that.
Yeah, that was kind of silly. That was just fitting my personality. But yeah, I think that little methods like this can really help you get rid of things.
I think, and I love that tip about having your honest friend over, because as we talked about, Diana and I did an interview about clutter-free gifts for her podcast, which I'll make sure to link to in the show notes. But we talked about, you know, I need accountability mm-hmm. and I need somebody to be able to hold my feet to the fire. And so if that's something that you need in any of these areas, you know, in your bathroom, in your kitchen, in your closet, in your kids' toys, if you need somebody mm-hmm. that's going to be honest with you, you know, that's where either bringing a friend in, bringing a family member in, or bringing in somebody who's a professional organizer mm-hmm. who's going to ask the tough questions and really get you to declutter and minimize the things in your house. It's really going to be helpful, because sometimes we can get in our own heads and talk ourselves into stuff that we don't really need to keep around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially with the clothes. I would do that with my husband when we first started paring down. He's like, well, that looks great on you. Look great. And it's like, okay, I need someone to tell me that this isn't flattering.
Right. So, you don't need a yes man.
No. So, yeah, I would say that I just know people get stuck on the sentimental items. Do not start there. That just makes it so much more difficult. There are still sentimental items that I'm trying to part with and figuring it out. So, yeah, I would start with that. And then another tip, I guess, for people with younger children with the school artwork that's coming home, something that I do is either photograph the item or photograph Charlotte holding the item, and then I put it in a scrapbook. I do the Shutterfly digital books every single year, and I know some people might not be into that, but even just taking a picture and printing it out, like that way it's all condensed to one little space as opposed to just starting to build up somewhere in your home. That's been really helpful for us. And it is really hard to part with those little items, but I feel like I have that picture and I can look back on it. So,
well, one thing that I talk about with people when they're struggling with this, and I have said this on the podcast before, is if somebody showed up at your house mm-hmm. with boxes upon boxes of your preschool art, what would you do with it? Like, would you be like, this is amazing? Or would you be like, we're having a bonfire in the backyard in 5 minutes? Mm-hmm. And I think that most of us are like bonfire, or at least we would take a look at it and be like, why did you save this for 40 years? Mm-hmm. And so I use that as my jumping off point for what we keep. And I actually involve my kids in the process. Mm-hmm. We have two small file boxes that we keep things in. And I involve them saying the yes and the no's of what we keep. And then we do some pictures and books mm-hmm. like that too. But I think that's a really great tip, because when you lose the item, you don't lose the memory. And mm-hmm. I hear that in a lot of your tips that you just gave with the sentimental stuff. Just because the necklace is gone, just because the artwork is gone, doesn't mean you've lost the memory. And if you need to figure out a way to remember it without actually having the physical item, then, you know, so be it.
Mm-hmm. And your children are slightly older than mine, 6 and 8. Mine are 4 and 2. And so I don't really involve them as much because they're emotional with everything. It's like when they see what you're taking to the thrift store, they're like, wait, I love that toy, even though they haven't played with it in months. So I would say that personally, I wouldn't incorporate them into this decision making at this little age, but I do think it's important just so that they can start, for your boys, living this way as yep. they continue to grow.
And maybe not with everything, but you can do it with some things. I would definitely wouldn't do the whole toy room with them. Oh, gee, no.
Yeah, that would be really difficult. The other thing, I really wanted to share this quote. It says, it's from William Morris, and he says, have nothing in your house that you do not know to be useful or believe to be beautiful. And so I'd say for the most part, if it's in a box collecting dust, it's neither beautiful or useful. And we have Absolutely. To remember that. I have had my wedding dress for sale on Facebook Marketplace for like years now. I have to keep like uploading. I guess no one wants it, but, or maybe it's priced too high, but all that to say, people are just appalled that I would put my wedding dress, but it's like, I'm never going to use it again. I know that Charlotte's not going to want to wear it. I don't know. Cause I don't want to wear my mom's. Styles change, and it's just going to be collecting dust when maybe I can make a couple $100 off of it.
Absolutely. And I love that quote. And I think it just really hits perfectly with what we're talking about today as far as being very intentional about what you bring into your home. Make mm-hmm. sure that you love it, you think it's beautiful. And then I usually say it's something that you need also in yeah. there is important. But thank you so much, Diane, for taking time to chat with me about this today. Can you tell the listeners where they can find your podcast and find you on social media?
Yeah, I have the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. And then on social media, I'm most active on Instagram. It's Minimalist Moms Podcast. I do have a Facebook page as well. And I actually just started a new community group on Facebook so we can share our minimalist moments of the week. That's something we have on the podcast, or resources that we're liking, or our decluttering wins. So that's the little community group that we have now going on. And then my personal social media is at Diane Bowden. And I think that's it.
All right. Thank you so much, Diane.
Thank you for having me.
And thank your husband for me, too.
Yeah. Thanks.
Before we wrap up today, let's do a quick recap of Diane's tips for those of you out there who would like to have a more minimalist Christmas or start a minimalism journey of your own. First, Diane's definition of minimalism is being very intentional about bringing things into your home. I love the William Morris quote that she gave, and I think it sums it up perfectly. Have nothing in your house that you do not know to be useful or believe to be beautiful. When it comes to being more intentional in the holidays, Diane recommends experience. Find activities your family will enjoy together rather than focusing so much on the gifts. When it comes to gifts, create a very specific list for family or friends so the items that come in will be loved or useful.
Also, focus on living the change that you want people to see. Your friends and family may not understand your decluttering or minimalism journey right away, but keep reinvesting in what you believe. Your happiness in your lifestyle is the best example of why they should respect your way of life. If you're thinking of starting a decluttering or minimalism journey for yourself in the new year, Diane recommends starting in the least sentimental place. Maybe a bathroom or a kitchen, somewhere that you can remove items quickly and easily, live with the decluttered space, and relish in feeling less stressed before moving on to another space. A huge thank you to Diane for taking the time to chat with me about her minimalism journey and tips for staying intentional during the holidays. Remember to check out my interview with Diane about clutter-free gifts on her Minimalist Moms podcast, which is linked in the show notes along with today's cocktail recipe. And be sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss the rest of our holiday organizing episodes. I've got an amazing episode on tap for you next week with beauty and lifestyle blogger Stacey Hamilton, all about simple skincare and makeup tips. We chat just in time for Black Friday with some great consumable gift ideas for moms out there. Until then, may all of your things be tidy and all of your cocktails strong. Cheers!